What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 31st, the trade deadline day. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I'm wearing my Expo Bacon shirt made of bacon and pancakes and eggs because I don't say ExpoBacon. We do have that Comic-Con convention version 2. But I do want to mention before we start, we have a 4 p.m. trade deadline extravaganza live stream at 4 p.m., right? Paul Spohr and I have done this for, 6 years now? We wear suits. We cover everything as it's coming on. We talk about all the trades that have happened already. It's awesome. It's the best one. We bring on people, random people from our chat to come on as well to talk about their favorite teams and the deals that happen. So make sure that you are there at playback.tv/pitcherlist or at youtube.com/pitcherlist to check out the live stream at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to do it to about 6:15 because we know there are always some extra trades after, but it's just the best time. It's Thursday's trade deadline night. It is awesome. And so let's talk about yesterday, though, because we are sitting on the Wentz. That is, should we be going after Joey Wentz? I made a ridiculous move in Tout Wars where I said, you know what? I need a reliever this week because I lost Landon Roop and I lost the Felix Bautista in the same week. And I needed one more reliever. And I said, you know what, Joey Wentz, I'm going to do this against the Royals. And guess what? 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. Unbelievable. He didn't get a win, which is really annoying. But we are seeing 7.1 feet of extension after being 6.5 feet in previous years for Joey Wentz. He also has one of the rarest things in his career, that is full runway as a starter. A proper starter. He was stretched out in the previous two, about 4 and change in both starts. We hadn't seen 5 innings yet. And here we go, 6.2 innings at 95 pitches. It's Atlanta. And they just acquired Eric Fede and Carlos Carrasco because their rotation is completely decimated at the moment. So yes, Joey Wentz, I think it's like the SP2 right now behind Spencer Strider. It's like Bryce Elder and Spencer Strider and Joey Wentz and Carlos Carrasco and Eric Fede. That is their rotation, right? So I think Wentz has it for 2 months, and why not after performances like this? His cutter is really well commanded down. The curveball has improved to be lower than usual. And that four-seamer, as I mentioned with that extension, also has 17 to 18 inches of vert on it at 93. I think this is kind of interesting, especially for your deeper leagues or situations like mine where I needed an RP. And guess what? You have the Brewers, Marlins, and then the Guardians, likely without Steven Kwan, in the next 3 starts for Joey Wentz. Just throwing it out there. The win chance is worse because Acuna is not healthy, of course, right now. Still, pretty interesting. Yu Darvish, by the way, last time he started, I led with him thinking, man, like Yu Darvish just isn't putting it together. I don't know when he will. I'm sure he will at some point, but I don't know when. And he does in the next start. 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. 41% CSW. That is awesome. What I liked about this was 6 different pitches being thrown at least 10 times, and he threw 76 pitches overall. So the minimum there is 60 pitches. Only 16 were different than that, which is absolutely wild. You have the slider finally being a reliable pitch. It wasn't previously. Actually, in the last start with Yu Darvish, what I saw was him just struggling to really throw anything reliably and get the results that he wanted, right? He did have a decent strike rate on the sweeper and the slider, but they weren't a pitch that he really wanted to be throwing. They were hit too often. But this was 15 over 16 strikes with a 44% CSW on that slider. We had sinkers down to 18% usage. Thank you. We don't want that to be a 33% thrown pitch and closer to 50 at times. Oh my gosh, no. And this is good. This is Darvish being more of Yu Darvish. Great. I feel very comfortable moving forward. And only 76 pitches, which is shocking and just means like, cool, he's getting stretched out. He's not all of a sudden pushed so far like, it's okay. He's going to be like 80, 85 moving forward, I'm sure. You have Zach Littell against the Yankees in his swan song for the Rays. He was traded to Cincinnati. 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. Once again, it's dancing with the disco with a slider, and you have the splitter doing things. It was like a 14% CSW on that splitter, and it still worked, I guess. Fastballs are not good. I just think that Zach Littell is having a lovely run as a hipster. And maybe a Vargas rule, but not really. I don't know. I don't believe any of it. It is very interesting that the Rays don't have a SP5. Sure, it could be Taj Bradley coming back from the minors. That's possible. But maybe it's Forrest Whitley. I don't know. I think they're going to acquire somebody. And then the whole joke that I've been saying for like years is that they are going to acquire Bailey Falter. This is the year to do it. Arbitration is coming, Pirates. What are you going to do? You don't want to give him money. So, yeah, you trade him, right? Right? But the Rays don't want to spend the money either, I guess. I don't know. I think that Bailey Falter should be dealt. And I've been joking that the Rays will get him just because he's an extension guy and they likely will feel like they can fix him. We'll see. Cal Quantrill against the Cardinals. 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. That's nice. I'm happy that Koufax helps him every so often. He gets a chance to, at least. He throws enough strikes. It's also against the Cardinals. It's Cardinal Sin resisting pitchers against them, I guess. Colby Allard. Oh, my gosh. Against Rocky Road. Yeah, that guy. Drala, as I used to say, because of course that's his name backwards. It looks like Alucard from Castlevania. Doesn't matter. 3.1 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. What? Is he going to be starting now? No, this was 42 pitches. And honestly, 10 outs on 42 pitches is absurdly efficient. I remember back in the day, the stat with how the Yankees would always go after these patient batters, and it would be like 4.3 pitches per at bat or plate appearance was the average. I mean, Drala averaged under that for everyone, which is for 10 outs. That's just bonkers. Okay. Anyway, we don't think that Drell is going to be around. He's not that good. We know this. Moving forward. Inhel Zerpa against Atlanta, 1 inning. It was all relievers for about 1 inning for the Royals in a bullpen game. Moving on. Jose Soriano, when his sinker is cooking, you know it'll be good looking. And that was this one. 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts, 12 whiffs. 27% CSW, about 100 pitches. Yeah, this is him. This is what he does. He throws these sinkers that are just very good. And that's it. 97 miles per hour. It's about 4 and change inches of drop, which is great. You don't want it to be like at 10 inches. You want drop. So 4 inches closer to zero. That's how it works. If he throws that in the zone, it works. So you can blame it on the Rangers if you want. You don't really know if he's going to have that good of a sinker each time. Nathan Eovaldi against the Angels on the other side of this. 7 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. He's just been so consistent, and it's amazing. And don't you ever leave us, Nathan. Brian Bello against the Twins got a win. 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. A lot of these 7-1s. We have Bello scaring us a little bit with those 4 walks, but don't worry. It was very much around the zone. And he had a sweeper getting a lot of called strikes, but there was one to a lefty that was destroyed by Matt Wallner. You don't really want to throw that against lefties. He did live along the edges with his cutter and his changeup, even though they didn't get as many strikes as they normally do. I feel like you should be totally fine with Bayo moving forward as kind of a high-end Toby, a low-end Holly. He's doing what he wants to do at this point, which is really, really nice to see. It's not like sinkers all over the place in the zone. He's being effective around the edges, which is not something we've seen for a long time. Will Warren against the Rays. Well, we've been saying, hey, you've been only focused on your four seamers. We need more whiffs because those secondaries have to come back. Well, we got a great game. 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. You got no decision. Fine. But only 4 whiffs on 102 pitches. What's going on? Well, the sweeper did return. And it went 3 for 9 whiffs against right-handers. He didn't face many right-handers, though. So against lefties, it was really called strikes backdoor with that sweeper. And the pitch that should be getting whiffs, well, it's really twofold, but the one we want is the changeup. And that was 1 for 8 strikes. Not whiffs, strikes. Which is not good. So it's really just four-seamer, sinker, and sweeper at the moment. Maybe some curveballs in there a little bit, but that's really what this is. And the four-seamer has shown itself to get whiffs in the past at times with against left-handers. He didn't get it upstairs. He lived away for the most middle away with that in the sinker. And those two pitches, those two fastballs worked. They were called strikes and getting outs and not a single whiff to a left-hander, which is just bonkers. I'm okay with this because the sweeper is getting better, and especially against right-handers, which is great, but the changeup needs to be better. That needs to improve. It's been missing for a while, and at least the four-seamer and sinker commander is generally good. We didn't really see the sinker away to right-handers this game, though. Something interesting there, but yeah, Will Warren, I'm still fine with this. It's 2 starts of you being productive now, and I think we just keep going. Mike Burrows against the Giants. I think a lot of you guys are going to want to hear about this one. And there are many others, of course, to talk about from yesterday's games. We'll talk about all of them after this break. Mike Burrows, 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. This was against the Giants, so you can blame it on them, fine. And I've been talking about Burrows as a young gun. That is someone I don't really think is going to be sustainable this year, but might be someone that we actually do rely on next season as he develops the skills that he has. And what are those skills? Well, it is a 17 to 18 inches of vert four-seamer at 95-96. And then he has a big curveball at negative 15, negative 16. So that creates a huge, nearly 40 or really a 3 feet difference between those two pitches at times, which is awesome. But it's not really a consistent curveball at this moment. The big secondary has been the changeup. And if Burrows at least has the foundation of like, cool, I go upstairs with my four-seamer, I go down the changeup, that is good that he can then develop the slider and the curveball with. And really this game, I applaud him for using those breakers 33% of the time. Like, that's cool. Now, is the curveball is the slider good? Not really. There are some that were good here and there, but I'm not sold that Mike Burrows has those two breaking balls consistently and are going to be very effective. I'm also not convinced that he's going to do enough with the four-seamer and changeup. We've seen it go back and forth a bit. So I still think he's a young gun. I think he's a guy that we focus on for next year more so. But if he does get more of these good matchups, then okay, you can certainly take a look at Burrows. His next start will be against the Giants again, so you might want to do that, and then the Reds carpet. Then it's the Cubs, and then it's Rocky Road. So you're getting three amazing matchups in his next four starts. It might be something worthwhile. I'm not just going to tell you that it's going to be fine, though, because, again, those breaking balls are not there yet. Jeffrey Springs, not Mike Burrows, Jeffrey Springs, against the Mariners, got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. Very interesting to see that the changeup is only thrown 12 times for 25% CSW. This was actually the slider and the sweeper doing most of the work, which wasn't really well located. It was just generally in the top half. But then you did have a good four-seamer command at the very top of the zone, and that was cool. But yeah, sunshine and rainbows here for Jeffrey Springs. I don't think this is something that I want to lean into. Ryan Gusto had a good start against the Nationals, got the win, 6 innings, 1 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. He had a horrific outing than the last start, and this was much better, obviously. He just had a smattering of pitches over the plate to lefties. Four-seamer was very productive, generally upstairs, and everything else was just like curves and cutters and changeups and whatnot. Just around there, it's fine. Koufax helped a lot. He does get the Marlins next, and that might work. Then again, I also want to highlight the fact that the Astros are likely going to do something with their rotation at this deadline. Then there's Christian Javier, and then there's Spencer Arrighetti also returning very soon. So don't lean too heavily into Gusto, while, of course, the skills don't really suggest that we should be anyway. Chris Paddock made his debut for the Tigers. It was good. It was standard. 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. It was against the Diamondbacks without Eugenio Suarez. They sat him, and I didn't really see too much from the curve and cutter from Paddock. It was really just the four-seamer and changeup. They were generally good. Everything's fine. He did throw too many hittable pitches to right-handers, though, and he got away with that. We're cool with Chris Paddock moving forward. Logan Webb against the Pirates. Interesting one, 5.2 innings of 1 run. Great. 5 hits, well, okay. 4 walks, no. 11 strikeouts and a no decision. He got the gallows pole at 16 whiffs. 11 over 42 whiffs on the changeup is so interesting because it had a sub 50% strike rate. And then you have a sub 60% strike rate on 27 sweepers, but those were back at least. We had a lot of called strikes on that. It was 8 for 19 against the lefties as backdoor pitcher like Will Warren there. And I'm happy to see the sweeper is around again, but we don't have the cutter working. And to see that he needed to rely so much still on the changeup as his number one thrown pitch with that low strike rate is still a little concerning. You have Ryan Nelson against Detroit, 5.1 innings and 1 run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts because that slider was really good to right-handers. Oh, 5 for 13 whiffs with 70% strikes. Oh my gosh. I will take that all day against right-handers. Now against left-handers, it was the whole weirdness of, hey, maybe one of these secondaries will work fine, while the four-seamer is still really good. So I like this better. We have an attack against right-handers now. What is it going to be with left-handers? Ryan Nelson at least is getting better. I'm still very much in moving forward. Nick Martinez did well against the Dodgers. How good are they? I don't know. Right now as an offense, they've certainly been very cold. But Martinez did deserve the six innings of 2 run game, 1 whip, and 7 strikeouts. It was 4 hits and 2 walks. The sinker and the cutter were really well separated against right-handers. Sinkers were up and in, cutters were down and away. It was great there. And it generally was fine against the left-handers with the changeup going down and away and cutters generally going up and in. That was great. I don't really think he's going to be able to have that kind of command constantly. And also, it's a six-man rotation right now with the Reds with Littell going to Cincinnati. I do feel like Martinez is the perfect fit for the Mariners because he would be the depth starter. If they go and get someone else too, then he can be in the pen and also be their backup so they don't have to go to Logan Evans later on in the season if they need another starter. That's how I see Nick Martinez as like the perfect add-on for a full rotation because you can have him in the pen as the long reliever as he has been before. He came the holds guy, or you can have him as a starter if need be. So if he does stick in Cincinnati, it would be the Cubs next, and you don't want that. Miles Michaelis is throwing 2 to 3 ticks harder, and that doesn't just affect the fastball. Now it's at 95 and not 92 and change, but also the slider, which is up to 90 miles per hour. And this was 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks against the Marlins. So he gets the Dodgers and Rocky Road next. I don't want to do Michaelis against the Dodgers. I don't care how cold they are. I just can't do that. But Rocky Road, honestly, I might consider that now with the good defense behind him. I know. Weird times of Miles Michaelis, but hey, he's done this for 2 straight. You have Tymon Walker against the White Sox. 5 innings, 200 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? Did not get a win. So you got a 3.6 ERA and a 1.40 whip and 0 strikeouts and no win. Like, what? Tymon Walker, you can't continue starting, right? The Phillies have to get Andrew Painter up here or something else or get someone on the deadline, whatever. Just, it can't be him. Maybe Nola gets back finally. I don't know. Jose Berríos is the great undulator, and he undulated greatly against the Orioles with 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks in 73 pitches. Yeah, you don't want to go with Berríos if you can avoid it. Clay Holmes was limited to 79 pitches, but not necessarily because of the limitation by the Mets. No, against the Padres, he went 3.2 innings of 200 runs because he labored a ton. And he was pulled actually with 2 runners on base. And fortunately for him, he wasn't, he didn't get 2 more runs on the books. Thank you, bullpen. But 2 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks in those 3.2 innings. What we're seeing here is that even if Clay Holmes does not get limited, he's still not necessarily productive. And there's a high chance he does get limited. Yeah, I don't want to do this. Tyler Alexander, 3.1 innings, 49 pitches. It was a bullpen game really for the White Sox. Actually kind of open for Mike Vassell, and you don't want to touch him. So yeah, Tyler Alexander, you don't want to go with. Kyle Freeland, he was ill. He actually had an illness the day before, and he was still feeling the effects the next day. 3 innings, 200 runs. He was pulled early. Whatever. You have Shohei Ohtani against the Reds in Cincinnati. And this was 3 innings of 200 runs pulled early due to cramps. And it's unfortunate because they were really planning on stretching him out further than 51 pitches. So Emmett Sheehan stepped in and he went 3.2 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 5 Ks across 72 pitches. A little disappointed that he didn't go longer in this one. Still, his combination of 4 seamers and sliders were so good against right-handers. 15 whiffs on those 72 pitches. I'm a big fan. And I just want him to start regularly. I think we're going to see Dustin May moving forward in the bullpen. And hopefully that means that Emmett Sheehan can start. But we'll see what happens. You have Dean Kramer against the Jays, and you don't want to start that one, and didn't go very well. 5 innings, 3 earned runs, and you just don't want to start him against the Phillies next either. Shota Imanaga allowed 2 home runs to William Contreras, and that pretty much was the difference. 5 innings of 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Pretty much what you expect there. The splitter was not getting low enough. It was still too much in the zone, over 50% zone rate. It's not what you want, and that's why you only had 3 over 24 whiffs. So hopefully Imanaga does continue to pull that down a bit more so that he can get more chases on it, and then it makes it so that guys aren't as comfortable swinging over the plate. You have Brian Wu against the Athletics. Speaking of solo shots, he allowed 4 of them in this one, and 2 of them were just terrible pitches. One was a 4-seamer down the pipe that was just, oh man, he made him so upset in that 7th inning. And then the slider that was just so badly thrown as well. What are you going to do? Brian Wu is going to do that at times and whatever. Zebby Matthews against the Red Sox in Minnesota, not in Fenway, was very disappointing. 4.1 innings of 500 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. 74 pitches in this. I honestly still really like Zebby Matthews. He is not a wild pitcher. He has a very good fastball. He has a very good slider. And the secondaries just weren't as good against the right-handers as we normally see because, you know, they floated changeups in there that were had 2 for 2 hits, honestly. It was just a lot of things that Zebby Matthews should be better at, and I think he will be moving forward. So I think that Zemi Matthews is a guy that's great for 2026. And I think for the rest of this season, yeah, you might get some more volatility, but I think overall he should be beneficial. And then there's Freddie Peralta and Mackenzie Gore. Both just had disappointing games, and you're still going to start them. It's unfortunate, but yeah, Freddie Peralta, 4 innings and 500 runs, and Gore, 5.1 innings of 600 runs. And it's just, all right, you keep starting these guys, they should be fine. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for checking us out on YouTube, youtube.com/pitcherless. I put up a Pearson Ohl breakdown, believe it or not. And also, we'll be live today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the trade deadline extravaganza with me and Paul Spohr. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.